Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's David Smith.
This is Dave Smith reporting live from the Illinois Christian Home
live
conference, and we are going around speaking to some of the vendors and the keynote speakers or the workshop guys that are here at the conference. And I've got in front of me Kelly Love, who is a speaker from Trail Life USA. And if you don't know what Trail Life USA is, you should look it up. They are the premier boys group, Christian boys group, that replaced Boy Scouts of America when they went crazy on their policies.
You said that, I didn't.
No, I did. I'm saying it. You know, we opposed what they were doing. But Kelly, well, tell me a little bit about yourself, about Trail Life USA, and the reception you're getting here at the Illinois Christian Home Educators Conference.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have three boys, 22, 9, and 6.
That's a spread, brother.
And God started breaking my heart for what was happening in masculinity in our culture.
Yeah.
You know, you look at boys who are 12 to 17, that's the fastest growing demographic committing suicide in our land. It's not soldiers coming home from war and PTSD. It's young boys. And there's a lot of reasons for that, a lot of culture. I just heard recently from our CEO, Mark Hancock, who was the keynote yesterday here. He's now gone. He's going to fly to Houston.
Okay.
That more boys have cell phones today than have dads.
Whoa.
We all know that in the back of our head somewhere now, but to hear it put that way really just really shocks the senses a little bit.
So tell me what you think is the number one reason that demographic is committing suicide. That's hugely alarming.
Well, the absence of fathers are big. A boy needs a man to look him in the eye and call him up to manhood.
Yeah.
Whether, Dave, you and your wife or me and my wife or with our young boys, we have a desire and a sense to be called up and called into something.
Challenged.
Not be called out.
Yeah.
And so that's the secret. Women, if you want to know how to deal with your man, call him up. And call him into something. Don't call him out.
Ooh.
One of the things that boys need more than anything is this group of men, not just a single dad, a group of men that will call him into manhood, godly men, and show him what it looks like for his context and his personality. That's why it can't be just a single dad saying, I'm going to be enough for my son. It's got to be a group of men, because your son's personality is somewhat like you, but somewhat different.
Yeah.
And so he needs to see this group of men who are calling him into the brotherhood, right? He needs to see those men and see this guy live out in godly masculinity, see that guy live out godly masculinity, so he can take pieces from this guy's life, pieces from his dad's life.
Yep.
And so I tell a lot of dads, in fact, I just finished a talk. I tell a lot of dads, if you think you're enough, I make every guy in the room look me in the eyeball, but I'm trying to look them all in the eyeball. Yep. It doesn't work, but... And I tell them, Dad, you're not enough. You may end up being his hero, but he may not know what godly masculinity looks like for his personality and his context and what God's called him to do.
Yeah, and humility, right? To own up when you screw up, right?
That's right, yeah.
But, you know, it just dawned on me as you're telling me this, looking back in my own life, you know, one of my first jobs was at a hot dog stand, a family-owned hot dog stand.
A good Chicago dog.
Yes, it was. No ketchup. this was owned by a family, and Frank Cunningham was the owner. And it dawned on me, he had a huge impact on my life as a high schooler, and then when I came back to work my way through college, a huge impact on me.
Wow.
So I hear what you're saying, and Trail Life USA offers that to fathers and these young men, right?
Mm-hmm.
To influence them in a godly way, in a good way. Through what kind of activities? Tell me.
So we use outdoors to teach adventure, character, and leadership, and call them into that godly masculinity role.
Okay. Give me some examples.
Anything from knot tying to how to start a fire to first aid to you name it, all the things a man should know by the time he turns 18. And leadership. It's one of the great things about Trail Life. We use something called a patrol method, which is not an adult man showing a boy how to do something. It's youth leading a youth. So the older boys lead the younger boys. Every patrol has got a scout leader, a patrol leader, first officer.
Okay. So how many chapters do you guys have around?
We're a little over 1,500.
Okay.
And nice. 1,500 churches around the country.
Fantastic.
And,
like,
and homeschool associations as well.
Excellent.
One of the best things about Trail Life, it's awesome for young men. Both my 6 and 10-year-old are in the program. But I tell you what, I love it. So I'm going to give you a little secret.
Yeah.
I'm not an outdoorsman.
Take a look at me. I'm not one either. I'd like to have a nice, comfortable bed at night.
And there's a lot of guys like me and you, right? And, yeah. And so the opportunity for that dad to come up. I was telling a lady at the end of the conference, at the end of my talk a few seconds ago, if a guy's into sports and his son likes outdoors,
yeah,
and this was her situation, he would rather not participate in outdoors with his son because he can't look like his hero.
Wow.
Because he's having to learn it. It's the pride thing that men have, right?
Sure.
I can show up at Trail Life. I was just telling a couple who were here at the booth. I showed up. We got in Trail Life with my boys, and I go to Amazon. I buy the biggest tent that you could find. I'm like, I'm going to do it right, all the things. Everything you're not supposed to buy.
Right.
And I'm over there setting it up for the first time. And I work at Trail Life. And not a lot of guys in my troop know that I work at Trail Life. I just try to show up and be a dad. And all the guys came over there and saw I was struggling putting a stent up, and they're there to help me. And so the guy out there who knows his son needs these things but says, I don't know how to do those things, he can step into a Trail Life troop.
I love it.
And
get the
be
help.
Doing it with his son. They're building that relationship.
So I can't tie anything but a regular knot. So I would love to know how to tie a bunch of other knots, to tell you the truth. And my boys should learn how to as well. I'll tell you, I have a 12-year-old who's going on 13 this summer. And he is so energetic. He's got plenty of energy. So this is a good place for a young man who's got lots of energy to sign up and get
involved. So right behind you, we have some books called Let Boys Be Boys.
Amen.
And so that's what we believe.
Mamas need to hear that, don't
nothing,
they?
Nothing. Yeah, mamas need to hear that. Nothing in this world is created for the young man.
Yeah.
Our schools, our churches, everything is created for the young female.
Yeah.
And so to tell a boy to go sit down and listen to a teacher or to a pastor or in any situation like that, he physically, mentally is not learning.
Yeah.
Because a boy can't learn without moving. And so it's very true. That
it's so true.
It's biological. Like,
Kelly,
this is science.
Kelly, you have to hear this. When I was in first grade, my first grade teacher tied me down to my chair with a jump rope. Today, I could have sued her for millions of dollars. But anyway, that's what she did because I was so antsy. I wanted to move. And it's not a natural place. That's why homeschooling is so great. You can go do your reading, go do your math, go take a break, go play outside, right?
That's right, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, where can people learn more about Trail Life USA?
TrailLifeUSA.com.
Pretty simple.
That's right. And there's two options when you get there. You can either find a troop,
yep,
go join a troop that's close by, or you can start a troop. And so start a troop would be a pastor or somebody in the church who feels a burden for young boys to grow into godly men.
Amen.
And they take it to the pastor. And so there's two options when they get to the website. And Trail Life's got a ton of cool gear as well, but we're really about the formation of those boys into godly men. The other second kind of hidden thing that Trail Life does is we're secretly one of the best men's ministries in the entire world. Because a guy doesn't have to know how to start a fire, right? Or maybe that's all he can do when he shows up there. But he's actually taken a baby step toward leadership and a baby step toward discipleship. Because a guy handed him a bunch of sticks and said, go show those boys how to start a fire.
Amen.
And he can do that.
Yeah.
And so I tell pastors, 5 years after you start a Trail Life troop, you've got that cackle of men in your church that you pray for every day on your knees. And so we call, and the last thing I'll say about it, we call Trail Life a men's ministry that starts at age 5.
At age 5 until what age do they age out?
Well, it's a men's ministry, so our goal is to build men, and we're this incredible men's discipleship program as well, because we're doing ministry the way Jesus did. We're shoulder to shoulder, we're sitting around campfires, we're telling old war stories, all the things, and guys who may be new in their faith, new in their belief, are sitting with a guy who's wise around a campfire.
Amen.
At some point in modern church, we started deciding that men's ministry looked like a sewing circle. And so, the guys aren't going to open up.
What a great
up.
Challenge.
Yeah.
So just last question, where's the gospel in this? Is it front and center?
Oh, it's, yes. And so you can only start a Trail Life Troop. We have a pretty standard, basic, but gospel-centered statement of faith. And so a church has to align with Trail Life's statement of faith, where Jesus is at the front of that.
Amen. Well, thank you guys for being here. Thank you for taking a few
minutes
to
talk
to us.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you.
Join Illinois Family Action for the Save America Rally, 7 p.m. Tuesday, August 4th at the Bolingbrook Golf Club. Former U.S. Comptroller General David M. Walker, along with businessman and author Joe Penland Sr., will offer big, bold, and practical solutions for fixing Social Security and protecting other vital programs from the reach of those who preach for communism in America. And during the Save America Rally, hopeful messages for the land of Lincoln from key Illinois candidates Darren Bailey for governor, Don Tracy for U.S. Senate, and James Martyr for Congress. Go to IllinoisFamilyAction.org for more information. IFA's David Smith.
Join us as we stand together to save America.
The Save America Rally is free. Be there Tuesday, August 4th at the Bolingbrook Golf Club. Find out more at IllinoisFamilyAction.org. Paid for by Illinois Family Action.
Did you know that every single major diaper company on the market today is a supporter of abortion, either financially or vocally? That's why in my household, we only use Every Life. Not only is Every Life the only pro-life diaper company on the market today, donating a portion of their sales to pregnancy care centers all around the country, but they are also the cleanest. So many diapers on the market, the majority of them are plastic lined, have harsh chemicals like phthalates, parabens, forever chemicals that are touching your baby's skin, but Every Life is different. Every Life is cotton lined, supremely soft, breathable, 12-hour leak protection, all the things that make it so easy for me as a mom to swap. Not only am I receiving a diaper that is pro-life, but I am receiving a premium product that I can have complete faith that actually works. And their wipes are the same. 99% water, no harsh chemicals. Amazing. That's why you need to shop Every Life too. Go to everylife.com and use code IllinoisFamily10 to get 10% off your order in perpetuity. That's IllinoisFamily10.
All right, so we're here at the Illinois Christian Home Educators Conference, and I'm able to meet some of the most fantastic people here who are ministering in various ways. One of those people is Carl Kirby. He's a keynote speaker here this week. He is with Reasons for Hope.
Yes, sir.
And his YouTube site and his website is?
Yeah, you look for Reasons for Hope or R-F-O-R-H, and that'll also be for the app. So just those five letters, and you'll find us.
So tell us about your ministry and what you're doing and what you're trying to accomplish. What's your mission?
The mission is to get a generation to know that they can trust the Word of God and how to apply it in a world gone crazy, because quite frankly, memorization without application is worthless. And unfortunately, too many times I see that we go the memorization route, which, by the way, we need to do.
Yes.
You know, people are going to get mad at me.
Hide it in your heart, right?
Yeah, you're telling me not. No. We need to know it, but if you don't know how to apply it in this world,
that's right.
Trust me, Satan knows how to take these words and twist them so that now you come back and like, whoa, what do I believe?
That's
and so
right.
I want a generation to be able to stand firm for the Lord Jesus Christ, to stand firm on His Word, to give that answer with meekness and fear, but boldly.
Amen. That's great. And that's such an important message. So, Carl, on the way here this morning, my boys and I were listening to John Stone Street talking to Professor, what's
John
his?
Lennox.
John Lennox,
yeah.
Thank you, on the issue of AI. And God has been talking to me about doing our next worldview and thinking, oh, maybe this is an important issue we really need to address. And I get here and I look at today's schedule and here's you on the list talking about AI.
Yeah.
And you have some really fantastic information to share with people. So give us your top lines on what's your concerns with AI, and especially for families and homeschoolers. It's a tool,
right. But
it could also be used in nefarious ways, you might say.
Well, let's be honest. It is being used.
It is being used.
There's no doubt about that. So, yeah, I try to cover. Look, it's broad. And I'm not an expert by any stretch of the imagination. I try not to pretend to be, but my goal is to get people talking about this, because we have to start talking about it. Christians have to be engaged in this world. It's a tool that can be used and is being used for good and for bad. So my heart would be that, look, understand what it is. Parents, there are going to be those that say, I want nothing to do with technology. I want nothing to do with this. And that's okay. Praise God for that.
Yeah.
But then I say, if you're one of those that is allowing your child to be in that world, then you better go in with the blinders off, because Satan doesn't play fair.
No.
And he's coming after this generation with a vengeance. And so I tell people, we want to know, where are the good points? And so I try to cover some good points on it. There are a lot of things that it does very well and helps. I shared the story with you that I've actually seen some young people come to the Lord Jesus Christ because of us using the tool.
Yeah, that was a fantastic story you told. Oh, unbelievable.
It's a tool that can enhance what we're doing in ministry. But then I go over and say, look, here's the things that you really need to be careful with, because deception is at its finest. When you have a generation, this is a point that I pulled out because we had Mr. Evan talk, who did a fantastic job. I wanted to give him some time. And
now, Illinois homeschooler too.
Yeah. I was very, very encouraged by what I heard from him. I think he's a future speaker, and I wanted to encourage that.
Amen.
And so the point that I pulled out is, like, think of it like this. In China, they've actually used AI to reinterpret the Bible. Now, think of the passage where Jesus comes up to the woman who's committed adultery, right? And what happens in the scripture? Well, what does he do? He gets up and he walks away, leaving the woman there, right?
Nope.
Oh, what's he do?
She realizes he knows her background.
Right.
So she is offered living water.
Yep.
Never and Jesus,
how
again.
Does Jesus respond?
Go tell everybody else.
And in the Chinese Bible, Jesus picks up the first rock and stone, begins stoning her.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. So think of it like this. If you don't know the biblical account.
Yeah.
And this is the only Bible that you have.
Yeah.
What are you going to think about Jesus?
That's right.
So you can use the tool to completely and totally distort and deceive. And so that's why I'm challenging Christians. Yes, we can use this as a tool, but you better know the truth.
Yes.
Because if you don't know the truth, then you can fall for the lie that much easier.
That's right. That's so good. And you also showed a video about a church in near Nuremberg.
Near Nuremberg, yeah.
They have 3 AI ministers, you point out,
right,
running the church service.
Right.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. And the theologian that wants this to happen says that they want people out of that whole process. They want to let AI just run it because they don't have enough pastors over there. So that's a double indictment, right?
Yeah.
Quite frankly, right?
Sure.
That they don't have the pastors, but then that a quote-unquote theologian is willing to turn over probably... No, it's not a problem. It is the most important thing.
Amen.
That a pastor can do, which is impart wisdom, godly wisdom, and hope to a generation, and turn it over to a machine that doesn't have hope. It doesn't have a soul. It can't impart
truth. Has no consciousness either.
No consciousness.
Yeah.
And so, but again, that's that point. That the purpose of that is to show that we have gotten to this stage where we are even open to allowing a machine to be our preacher. So we've got to know the truth, and we've got to know the limitations, the restrictions, and also the strengths.
Yeah, amen. Well, before I went to your workshop today, I was talking to Kirk Smith, the director of Itchy, and I told him, look, I think that if we use AI for the glory of God, I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
But if we use it for our own glory and advancement, I think we're going to get in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Anyway, listen, so your apologetics work, how important is having a solid biblical worldview? What would you tell parents, grandparents, and even church leaders about the importance of getting young people, Generation Z, Generation Alpha, a solid biblical worldview?
We do six camps every summer. And I'll tell you a true story. Lady comes up to me, what are you going to be talking about? Apologetics. What's that? Well, it's being able to give an answer for the reason for the hope that lies within you with meekness and fear. And we deal with real topics. We deal with things like fossils. We deal with things like dinosaurs. We deal with things like, and I'm listing these off to her, right? And she looks at me and she goes, oh, please don't do that.
Wow.
I said, what do you mean? She said, because my daughter will be calling me on Tuesday to want to come home. And I said, ma'am, I've been doing this for a very long time and I have never had that happen. And We don't. We just don't have that problem. We actually, at our camps, we do seven. You want to see how important it is?
Yes.
We do 17 teaching sessions over 5 days that are mandatory. Any other camp that I go and speak at, maybe twice at the most, once in the morning, once in the evening. And it's like, come on, guys. I'm giving you a day of my life to speak for 45 minutes twice. I want to pour into these guys. Give me opportunity. So I usually will be able to talk a camp into giving me a third one, a voluntary one right after lunch. Never have problem getting kids back to it.
Yeah.
So 17 teaching sessions, 5 days.
But you also tell me that it's not just speaking at them. You have interactions with them.
Right.
It's very important.
We're
give
doing
and take.
Life with them because now we're doing the fun stuff.
Yes.
If you're going to have them
so that's compelling to a young person.
Yeah.
I get to ask questions. I get to
give
feedback.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, day one, we hand out index cards.
Okay.
What are the questions keeping you from selling out?
There you go.
They write them down, turn them in.
Oh.
And so one of our two voluntary sessions that we have every day, which never gets less than half the kids back, we're pulling their questions and going.
That's great.
And so if people want to tell me the kids don't care, it's not an important topic, I will take you to four books that we've now published where it's nothing but the questions that the camper are asking us, and they're not the same questions that I got asked 5 years ago, 10 years ago, much less 15 years ago.
I bet.
When I went on a radio program, 15 years ago, it was totally different. I'd get a question like, where did Kane get his wife, right? That was in the top three.
Okay.
Well, guess what? I haven't been asked that in probably 3, 4, 5 years because kids are biblically illiterate. They don't even know who Kane is. Now, they ask
what
it in another way.
What kind of questions are you getting them today?
Oh, most of it is now dealing with gender, scriptural authority, why our religion is better than another religion. It's all those types of things. But sexuality is probably number one with a bullet. We have got such a distorted and deceived group of young people that think that everything is based off of their feelings. And so that is what I really see a lot now, is that you don't have people that are thinking biblically and have a rock solid authority to build their thinking from. What they have is, well, this feels right to me. And so we have to address those types of things.
So one of the things we did at IFI a few years ago is start calling parents, grandparents, and pastors to get the kids out of government schools.
Amen.
Because they're indoctrination centers.
900 hours a year is the average time they spend in that school system.
Well, in Illinois, they passed just a couple of years ago comprehensive so-called sex education from kindergarten.
Yeah.
Carl,
I know.
6-year-olds.
Well,
you know,
let me reinforce why. You know why?
Well, they're teaching them all kinds of LGBT sex, too.
And here's the thing. I think they tie together here because a dear man came to me. I spoke right outside of Detroit, and he said, Carl, I'm an elementary school principal. Do you know what the number one problem I have with elementary kids on the school bus is?
Born?
I said
sexual assault.
Fighting.
Yeah, what is
oral
it?
Oral sex.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not
me?
Kidding you, bro. I'm like, are you kidding me? And he's like, no. This is an elementary school principal. Where is that coming from? Because of our wonderful sex ed programs.
That's right.
And also the sexualization that these young people are getting from all of the screen time. I told
you,
900 hours a year in a school system, but it's 1,064 hours of screen time, and it's 936 hours a year playing video games.
Yep.
And those three tools right there are being used to absolutely destroy a generation. So I'm totally with you. We need to get out of the government school system, and parents
and get them to your
them.
Camps.
I'd want them at the camps.
Where do they find out information about
Equip
your camps?
EquipRetreat.org.
Okay, Equip. Retreats.org.
Retreat, singular.
Retreats. Oh, retreat. One.
I'm pretty sure it's singular, but if that doesn't show up, I'm a goof and put in S. So I should know it.
That's good. So that's important. And what's the age range for the
junior
the
high, high school?
Junior high and
junior
senior high.
High school. Yeah.
All right. Good. That's good. Any last minute advice as we wrap up right now to parents and grandparents?
Yeah, I would say parents, you can do it.
Yeah.
We live in a world that wants to tell you that, look, you don't have this, you don't have that, or we've let the world deceive us into thinking that we've got to be so busy in all these other areas that we kind of let our family slide. You can do it. There are a lot of good organizations like what you guys are doing here. I think this is great. It's fantastic. I'm looking at a lot of booze along here that are here to help equip parents to be able to raise their children. My tagline is, parents, I want you to be the hero to your child.
That's right.
And so how do you do it? You got to get engaged. You got to get involved. And it's going to take some work. But that's okay. And if you stumble, if you make a mistake, own it and just grow from it. Because your children are going to learn from you.
Well, humility is an important aspect to being a Christian father, at least.
Yeah.
And I am blessed to be able to do a job where I can bring my kids and exercise Deuteronomy 6, you know, to teach them as we go. Yep. And, you know, these last 3 days they've been with me, at least my older kids. So it's been a blessing. It's really been a blessing.
And engaging them in like that.
Yeah.
Do a ministry with them.
That's right.
Create that environment where you've got a ministry with them, where you're doing stuff. So pass it on, teach it, and model it.
Okay. What's your website one more time?
RFORH.com.
All right. Carl Kirby, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mr. Dave.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.